Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Tuesday, April 27, 2021. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Bush, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Sinnott.
Please bow with me. Lord, it's with humble hearts we come to you today to thank you so much for life itself. We pray today, Lord, for all our military, our first responders, and our frontline medical workers, as well as all the employees and citizens of Jefferson County. We now ask, Lord, that you give us your guidance and wisdom as we conduct the business of our county. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I'm gonna take a couple of agenda items out of order this morning under County Commissioners. Item A is consider and possibly approve proclamation for Soil and Stewardship Week, and item C is consider and possibly approve and present a resolution of the state of Texas honoring Judge Rachel Shaw. Do I have a motion on those two items?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Bush, seconded by Commissioner Alford. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And so, Judge, if I can get you to come up to the podium. Speaker's office delivered this resolution and delivered it to us this weekend. It says, whereas Rachel Shaw retired as Justice of the Peace Precinct 4, Jefferson County, March 2021, drawing to a close nearly a quarter century of outstanding service to his fellow citizens. And whereas first elected November 1996, Judge Shaw has run his office efficiently and effectively over the course of an exemplary 24-year tenure. He's kept up with new training and guidelines, held his staff to the highest standards, and his role as a certifier and registrar for birth and death records. He has sacrificed many hours of sleep over the years to perform inquests at all times of the day and night, and has maintained an excellent relationship with local law enforcement personnel and the staff of area hospitals. In addition to his professional responsibilities, this caring gentleman has also served his community with great distinction as an emergency medical technician and volunteer firefighter. And in all his endeavors, he has enjoyed the love and support of his wife, Kathy, and his children, Shane and Justin. His dedication, integrity, and commitment to excellence have greatly benefited the citizens of Jefferson County and earned him the respect and admiration of all who work with him, and he may indeed reflect with pride on the career well spent as he embarks on the next exciting chapter of his life. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Ray S. Shoshan be congratulated on his retirement as Precinct 4 Justice of the Peace for Jefferson County, and that he be extended sincere best wishes for the future. Signed by Dave Phelan, Speaker of the House.
Judge, that's a real honor because in our county, it's the first time we've had a Speaker of the House, so you the man.
Well, y'all scared me though. If I'm maybe y'all gonna talk about how many loads of rock I delivered. I know I do appreciate this, and it is a great honor, but again, I just have to say thank you because serving the people of Jefferson County, Texas, it's probably been the greatest thing I've ever got to do in my life. And what a great group of folks that we do serve here in Jefferson County, Texas. There's no place like Southeast Texas. And they're a good group of folks, and y'all have been a good group of folks to work with, and I really appreciate each and every one of you. Speaker Phelan is a good guy and a close personal friend, and he even mentioned about our grand grandson had a deal he was at not too long ago about the hardships that our family has dealt with over the years here just recently, and that really meant a lot, I'll tell you. But he's a good guy, and I appreciate each and every one of y'all, and thank y'all too for the honor here today. Thank y'all so much.
Thank you, Judge. A shameless plug for Speech Feast?
I do. I tell you what, if y'all get a chance, we've got the greatest thing in the world going on out in Bruce. If you'd come up, I brought my preacher with me this morning, so I wouldn't cuss or anything. Bruce Denson, he and several guys from our church hatched this thing sitting in Waffle House, and one of the guys has since passed away, but it was a terrific idea about the Beast Feast, a place where men and their sons could come and enjoy a night of the outdoors all combined on an indoor facility. And we fed them crawfish, and we had Hank Parker 1 year. I can't ever think of that other guy.
Shaw Grigsby.
We've now got with the Calvary Baptist here in Beaumont. We're just a small Baptist church out in Hampshire, but we've gotten with Calvary here in Beaumont, Clay Jones and Nathan Coffin. They wanted to do something, so Bruce got with them. Guys, this year we're bringing forth Phil Rock and Doug Commander. First time I ever saw him was at Bruce's church when he was down here before at Grace Baptist. And I looked at Shane, my oldest son, and I said, "Man, I don't know where this man's, you fellas. You know, if he needs some donations or what, we'll need to ease over there to him and see if we can help him a little bit." And he said, "Dad, that's Duck Commander." And I'm like, "Are you still hadn't helped me? Now we can see if he needs a little money, because the guy evidently is broke. He can't afford a haircut or a razor blade." But the guy has got a message for men and their families, because now it is open to the complete family. Was that right, Bruce? Why did you sit down? I'm
perfect. You're perfect.
Well, you're going to give the dates and the times, so you might as well come up with it.
May 5th, next Wednesday?
That's 2 weeks from today, May the 11th.
May the 11th.
Yes, sir.
But if it wouldn't have been for Judge Brank and the Commissioner's Court working with us and helping us, we wouldn't be able to have this at Ford Park. We outgrew our facility, and then we outgrew any place else. So Ford Park was the place, and we had to have the cooperation of Commissioner's Court. And thank goodness y'all did that, and this thing has grown dramatically. So, got to go online to buy tickets. What else, Bruce?
That's it. You covered it.
It's a night that you will not forget, though. So please come out and enjoy yourself. And I've got to go to the chemo place and get a load of iron put in. And again, God bless y'all, and thank you.
Thank you, Jay. I want to invite forward Ms. Elizabeth Allen. I will read this proclamation for Soil and Water Stewardship Week, which reads, "Whereas fertile soil and clean water provide us with daily sustenance, and whereas effective conservation practices have helped provide us a rich standard of living, and whereas our security depends upon healthy soil and clean water, and stewardship call for each person to help conserve these precious resources. Now, therefore, the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County did hereby proclaim April 25th to May 2nd, 2021 as Soil and Water Stewardship Week in the state of Texas, and urge all citizens to celebrate this special observance and further to reflect on ways that together we can contribute to a healthy environment and make Texas an even greater place to live, work, and raise a family." Ms. Allen?
Well,
Ms. Allen?
You've about covered it. Good morning, my name is Elizabeth Allen. I represent Coastal Soil and Water Conservation District in Jefferson County. We have partnered with Texas A&M Forest Service, Texas Wildlife Association, and Southwestern Cattle Rangers Association to highlight Soil and Water Stewardship Week, which, as Mr. Brannick said, is April 25th through May the 2nd, and the focus this year is healthy forests, healthy communities. The forest landowners are an important part of Texas agriculture, and they contribute significantly to the economy and provide numerous environmental and social benefits. The campaign aims to bring more awareness and support to the voluntary land stewardship because we manage our resources and private land directly impacts our forestry resources. Coastal Soil and Water Conservation District is proud to collaborate with conservation partners across Texas and to promote the importance of land stewardship. I want to thank you so much for your time and your continued support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Moving to items under purchasing, item A is receive and file a sole source exemption pursuant to local government code section 262.0247A to purchase T2 stabilizer, rejuvenator, ROC, CWE2, CWP, and all P2 road primes from P2 emulsions from Jefferson County. Item B is consider and approve specifications for requests for statements of qualifications for professional analytical services for airport pavement management programs at Jack Brooks Regional Airport, which will be funded by the FAA under the Airport Improvement Program. Item C is consider and approve execute, receive, and file job order contract with C-Tex Facilities and Maintenance for the repair of the termite damage in the county clerk's office in the amount of $7,162.62 in accordance with the Troy Department Job Texas contract, funded through available capital projects. Item D is consider and approve execute an addendum number 2 to the master agreement with Manatron Inc., a business of augmented technologies for services to index and verify mortgage and lien documents for the county clerk's office in the amount of $68,660.45 in accordance with the DIR contract. And item E is to discuss and possibly approve the county purchasing agent to enter into contract negotiations for inmate telephone consultant for Jefferson County. The motion on those items under purchasing.
So moved.
I heard Commissioner Senegal move. Did that, who was the second?
Move.
Commissioner Pierce with the second. All right, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Under County Auditor, item A is consider and approve budget transfer for 136 district courts, which offer education paid for certified real time court reporter, amount of $2,500. Item B is consider budget transfer for Road Bridge Precinct 4 for contractual payments. Item C is to receive file financial and operating statements for county funds only for the month ending March 31st, 2021. Item D is consider approval of Imelda insurance carrier relief with multiple carriers for the final settlement for Imelda claims of $640,659.47. Item E is consider approve applying for 2021 Port Security Program, authorizing county auditor to submit application through grants.gov and ND Grants, the FEMA portal. And item F is regular county bills, check number 481842 through 482084. Do I have a motion on those items under audit?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Hoffman, seconded by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion?
No discussion, but I do think that we need to make sure that the public know, and Patrick backed me up on this. This insurance payment is only a small amount compared to what we had to come out of our reserve funds for that particular storm, correct?
Correct. Total cost for Tropical Storm Imelda, which was a federally declared disaster for our area, so the cost fell on us. It's $4,115,000, and this is the portion, the 640 is the portion of that cost for the building damage. So debris work and the emergency pay, all of that fell upon the county. So.
Yeah, Thank you. So just to clarify that, in the aftermath of many natural disasters, we get a presidential declaration of disaster. Once we get that presidential declaration under the Stafford Act, it calls into effect the application of that act, which is reimbursement to local governments for our categories of emergency response services, debris removal, and things of that nature. There was no, because of the localized nature of the amount of the eye and the localized nature of the damage, the state of Texas had a $39 million threshold. We did not meet that. We have to meet our local threshold, and then we have to meet the state threshold before we can get that presidential disaster declaration. Because of the localized nature of the damage, we did not get a state threshold reaching, and therefore got no presidential declaration, so which is one of the reasons why it's important that we maintain a healthy fund balance in the county, because of unreimbursed expenses associated with natural disasters, which we've seen more than our fair share of. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under county commissioners, we've covered items A and C. Item B will be tabled until the court receives further information. Item D is consider possibly approving authorized county judge to execute, receive, and file a demolition waiver for the city of Port Alfred for a duplex located at 3043 and 3045 12th Street in Port Alfred. And item E is consider possibly approving authorized county judge to execute Texas General Land Office amendment to a surface lease number SL 2017-0030. Do I have a motion on those items?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Pierce.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes. Have it. Under tax assessors, we have one item to consider and approve the property tax refund to Jeanetta Jackson in the amount of $8,722.84 in accordance with property tax code 31.11 for a refund of overpayment in excess of $2,500. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Bush. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under county treasurer, we have one item to receive and file the investment schedule for March 2021, including the year-to-date total earnings on county funds. Motion on that item.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Alford.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Pierce. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, as have it. Under engineering, we have two items. Item A is to execute, receive, and file an overweight permit and road use agreement between Jefferson County and Sunoco Pipeline LP for a 10-inch pipeline construction, 29 miles of Patillo Road for drilling mud disposal in precinct number 2. Is that correct? 29 miles?
No, it should be 0.29 miles.
Okay. And item B is to execute, receive, and file pipeline permit 04P-21 to Chevron Phillips Chemical Company LP for a 24-inch HDPE pipeline for distribution of fire water. Crossing under Coke Dock Road via HDD horizontal directional drill in precinct number 3. Do I have a motion on those two items?
So we'll
move by Commissioner Senegal.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Bush. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under human resources, an amazing center possibly for granting.
I think we're going to table that one. He's back to work. So table that, yes, sir.
Okay. Item B is consider, discuss, and possibly approve extension of 80 hours of full pay for employees who are affected by one or more of the qualifying reasons below due to COVID-19 for additional 30 days through May 31st, 2021. Subject to a federal, state, or local quarantine or isolation order related to COVID-19, or B, has been advised by a health care provider to self-quarantine related to COVID-19, or C, has experienced COVID-19 symptoms and is seeking a medical diagnosis. Do I have a motion on this item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner
Second, Judge.
Second by Commissioner Senegal. Mr. Erickson, would you come? complaint.
Judge, this is another extension of the opportunity for employees who have not already used their allotment of 80 hours. That was originally granted under the FFCRA, which expired December 31st. Through May 31st, we've been doing this on a 30-day basis now. We are seeing a decrease, a pretty significant decrease in the number of employees who are currently being affected by COVID. It's gone down to about 4 to 6 per week, where at one time it was up to around 40 a week. So we're down to about 10% of that. I'm hopeful that this would be the last extension of this opportunity for those employees to have to do it. Hopefully we'll see COVID decline some more. Obviously everybody's had the opportunity to get vaccinated now, that sort of thing. So we're hopeful that this may be the last time we have to approach court, but certainly it's the court's decision whether to do this or not. This is an extension over and above what the FFCRA has.
Any questions, Commissioner? Thank you, and I appreciate this. We certainly don't want people who have run out of medical leave time to come to work with COVID and infect other coworkers. So I appreciate that.
Again, this is for those folks who have not already utilized that allotment. We keep track of that.
Just on a related note, the numbers I was looking at yesterday showed that about 63% of the people in Texas above the age of 18 had received at least one dose of the vaccine. About 40% of the people above 18 had received both doses of the vaccine. We're assuming that both doses is going to be up around 63%, and the vaccine is widely available. There's more supply than there is demand now, and I'm assuming that 37% of people that have not received the vaccine, either first or second dose, or people who have some objection to it. So the numbers continue to go down, which we're very thankful for. Hospitalizations and fatalities continue to go down, with fatalities down last week in Texas about 6%. So we're hoping that that projection that's planning continues downward. So, any others? Yes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. We had an addendum under district attorney, which we'd already taken care of in our executive session. So that completes our regular agenda. So now is the time of public comment. Anybody who is on the phone line will need to press *6 to unmute their line. Anyone who's present in the courtroom may approach the lectern and introduce themselves if they wish to make public comment. Hearing none, this time of public comment is closed. I did want to mention something. I opened up my mailbox yesterday and got my notice of appraised value, about a 34% increase in my appraised value. A little bit of a sticker shock. I think that there's going to be a lot of people in Jefferson County that are going to have the same experience. Some people are going to stay the same. Some people are going to actually be reduced. But there's going to be some increases. The county, the cities, the school districts did not increase your appraised value. Across the state of Texas, we have centralized appraisal districts that are given the duty and authority under Texas law to appraise properties at fair market value, which is generally for homesteads what a willing buyer will pay a willing seller in an exchange involving a trade. transfer of consideration with neither party being under compulsion to buy or sell. So basically, what can you sell your home for? You may wonder, which I did, what was the cause of such a large increase, particularly since Texas law says that a homestead may not increase in value more than 10% in any given year. And I got a 34% increase, but if you had a reduction in your property values as a result of a natural disaster, Harvey, Imelda, TPC plant explosion, which I did, then according to the Attorney General, the appraisal district may go back and raise the appraisal back to where you were before, plus 10%. Now, that doesn't get to the issue of what motivated all this. Every biennial, the Texas Comptroller of Property Tax Division comes down and does an audit of appraisal districts to see whether or not the property values that they placed upon specific pieces of property are in line with market value. They did that this year, and as a result, Chambers County, Jefferson County, Hardin, Jasper, and Orange County, but not Newton County, all failed in having too low property values. One of the things that happens if the comptroller says you're too low is that they will take away your school funding. So the appraisal district was forced to go out and gather all kinds of additional information from every source that they could. Texas is a non-disclosure state, one of the few states that is a non-disclosure state. So whenever I sell my home to John Smith, the amount I sold it for is not disclosed by the title company to any governmental unit. And so the appraisal districts are required to use other information to try to come up with fair market value. They went, after the comptroller came in, and went to every available source of information and did their appraisals. People got their notice of appraised value either Saturday or yesterday, or will be getting it this week, and there may be some sticker shock. So know that you have, I believe it's until May 24th or 25th to file a contest with the appraisal district of your appraised value if you wish to. Please go through that step. And if you have other damage to your property or not yet repaired casualty losses to the Harvey Melder or TPC, you can still bring that issue up with them to get the impact on the fair market value. But the Jefferson County Commissioner's Court, the City Council, the School Board did not raise your appraised values.
George, how did that impact industry, what you're saying on the appraised value?
And Ms. Getz, if you want to say something about this, I'd welcome you up to the podium. But there are going to be, we also failed on the commercial property side. And so there are going to be some changes and other information that was brought in for commercial establishments. And I don't know if those have gone out yet or not. I did not ask that question of Ms. Ballard. I've had several conversations with her over the weekend just to make sure that I understood what was going on. But do you have anything you want to enlighten us with?
Well, the answer to your question is the commercial property in Jefferson County is averaging an increase of 40%.
40%. That's including industry.
That's what you asked.
Commercial property. Now, I don't know how that's going to affect our refineries, but commercial property in the county. And the main thing that you describe everything very well, Judge Brannick, but I want to make sure that everyone realizes that the tax office does not determine value. So, welcome everyone to call my office, and we love visiting. We did not we were not responsible for increasing the values, and all of the calls need to be directed to the appraisal district.
I would like to add this to it, though, from the commissioner's court to the auditor. Judge didn't put this one in. Because of that increase and because of the contest and things of that nature, we do have an unfunded mandate on us because we have to provide funding for the appraisal district. So they have to defend that and we have to pay for that. That's one of those unfunded mandates that the citizens doesn't see. But like I say sometimes, those guys leave away from home, go to Austin, start sniffing the air there, and they forget where they live.
Thank you, Commissioner. Were you going to say something, Commissioner Senegal?
No, I'm just still wondering how it's going to affect industry for it.
Normally every year, capital appraisal still under contract. So Capital Appraisal Group out of Austin does the industrial appraisals every year. Our industrial appraisal system in the state of Texas is and has for many years been broken since the passage of uniformity and equality of taxation legislation that's in 42.2683 of the Texas tax code 30 years ago, 25 years ago. Industry likes to use what's called EDC, equivalent distillation capacity, to measure the value of a property. So you might have a property where they've just spent, an industrial property where they've just spent $10 billion improving it. And this is very close to what's actually happened in Jefferson. And that property may be valued at $1.5 billion. And I don't know too many sophisticated business people that will spend $10 billion on $1.5 billion asset. So we have a broken system, because what happens is, and it goes into the commercial property arena too, there are hedge funds that have bought hotels for $300 million, turned around, filed a uniformity and equality of taxation contest, and got their property values reduced to $120 million, even though the best indicator of what a property's worth and the fair market value is what a willing buyer paid a willing seller, and they just paid $300 million for it. But they're only paying taxes on $120 million, which means that the homeowners left to make a because the cost of government is going to be X. And that's not going down. And whenever business and industry does not pay based on their true property value, the homeowner makes it up. So
that's why I asked that question, because, you know, we've been entangled in a couple of lawsuits where that was challenging. You're saying that the homeowners can challenge that appraisal value, and that's going to come back to haunt us, because after it all settles down, the taxpayers are the ones that, on our fund balance that we have to pay back to industry, it's going to be impacted.
My understanding, you correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Yes, but generally the appraisal venture can appraise a property based on one of three approaches, either the fair market value approach, the enterprise value approach, the income approach, or the cost to reconstruct. But we've got this additional equality and uniformity under 42 of the tax code, chapter 42, which adds another wrinkle into it. I don't have a problem with any industry contesting their value based on the income approach, the fair market value approach, or the cost to rebuild approach. Always free to contest it based on that. But I have a real problem with equality and uniformity when people can build a brand new apartment complex or buy a brand new apartment complex and then go compare it to one that's 35 years old and needs all kind of maintenance and deferred maintenance and improvements and then get their values reduced on that basis. It's a shame, but anyway.
One question.
I've been griping at the legislature for 10 years about this.
I don't know who has a contract with for our industry to get Commissioner Senegal's answer. The group that does that, we can get that to us and see if we see any changes. That'd be one good thing.
Yeah, and I think traditionally what will happen sometime in June or July, normally, the appraisal district will invite the units of local government to the appraisal district where Capital Appraisal Group gives a talk about what they found and what and it may relate to industrial values, to commercial values, to mineral values. But if you could ask that maybe we could do that this summer, that would be nice for the members of the board to be able to go to and listen to.
Judge, I have a couple of that I need to bring to attention. I was on the call, breakfast call with TAC, House Bill 2144, nuisance abatement. I think you and I talked about it. That's a bill that would hinder our ability to do away with some of those nuisance situations in the rural area. We are watching that very close. There's again, Senate Bill 10, which make it harder for the local elected officials to discuss or to have conversations with the legislative process. That's a bill that's not good for our state. And then I have one personal, without a doubt, because I've gotten several calls from my constituents, and it was dealing with a bigger bill, but I pulled up SJR 51 by Creighton. Senator Creighton had proposed a constitutional amendment to prohibit unsolicited distribution of application forms for absentee ballots. That is a shame because I have a tremendous amount of seniors in my precinct and I'm getting calls about it. I'm telling everybody now, public-wise, I don't know if Senegal or anyone else have, I'm standing up against it in every form and fashion. I'm getting the calls from my constituents.
Thank you, sir.
That's election reform.
Anything else? All right, I just mentioned the one he talked about on nuisance abatements. We use that most often in the aftermath of natural disasters since Hurricane Rita in 2005. We have a home that's significantly impacted or destroyed. The owners make the decision to not attempt to repair it and just move off. And the house sits there in a disrepair for several years, the back taxes accrued, and nothing's done to take care of the house. It's thrown over with weeds, it's filled with snakes and rats. And these laws provide us the opportunity to go in, notify the homeowner to abate the nuisance, clean it up, or else we, as a governmental unit, have the authority to do that. So that is the authority we do not want to lose, particularly in areas where we're prone to natural disaster. And so, thank you for bringing that up, Commissioner. All right, anything further? If not, thank you all so much for being here, and we are adjourned.